Are you okay, Mercy? Tad asked me as he disconnected the wiring harness from the headlight of the 2000 Jetta we were working on. We were replacing a radiator. To do that, we had to take the whole front clip off. It was a rush case on a couple of fronts. The owner had been driving from Portland to Missoula, Montana, when her car blew the radiator. We needed to get her back on the road so she could make her job interview tomorrow at 8 a.m. The task was made more urgent by the fact that the owner and her three children under five were occupying the office. She had, she told me, family in Missoula who could watch her children, but nobody but her alcoholic ex-husband to watch them in Portland, so she'd brought them with her. I wished she had family here to watch them. I liked kids, but tired kids cooped up in my office space were another matter. To speed up the repair, Tad was taking the left side, and I was working on the right. Like me, he wore grease-stained overalls. Summer still held sway, if only just, so those overalls were stained with sweat, too. Even his hair showed the effects of working in the heat, sticking out at odd angles. It was also tipped here and there with the same grease that marked the overalls. A smudge of black swooped across his right cheekbone and onto his ear like badly applied war paint. I was pretty sure that if anything, I looked worse than he did. I'd worked on cars with Tad for more than a decade, nearly half his life. He'd left for an Ivy League education, but returned without his degree and without the cheery optimism that had once been his default. What he had retained was that scary competence that he'd had when I first walked into his father's garage looking for a part to fix my rabbit and found the elementary-aged Tad ably running the shop. He was one of the people I most trusted in the world, and I still lied to him. Everything's fine, I said.
Liar, growled Z's voice from under a 68 Beetle.
The little car bounced a bit, like a dog responding to its master. Cars do that sometimes around the old iron-kissed Fay. Z said something soft-voiced and calming in German, though I couldn't catch exactly what the words were. When he started talking to me again, he said,
You should not lie to the Fae, Mercy. Say instead, You are not my friends. I do not trust you with my secrets, so I will not tell you what is wrong.
Tad grinned at his father's grumble. You are not my friends. I do not trust you with my secrets, so I will not tell you what is wrong, I said, deadpan.
And that father of mine, said Tad, grandly setting aside the headlight and starting on one of the bolts that held in the front clip, is another lie.
I love you both, I told them.
You love me better, said Tad.
Most of the time I love you both, I told him, before getting serious. Something is wrong, but it concerns another person's private issues. If that changes, you'll be the first on my list to talk to. I would not talk about problems with my mate to someone else. It would be a betrayal. Tad leaned over, put an arm around me, and kissed the top of my head, which would have been sweet if it weren't 106 degrees outside. Though the new bays in the garage were cooler than the old ones had been, we were all drenched in sweat and the various fluids that were a part of the life of a VW mechanic.
Yuck, I squawked, batting him away from me. You are wet and smelly. No kisses, no touches. Ick, ick.
He laughed and went back to work, and so did I. The laugh felt good. I hadn't been doing a lot of laughing lately.
There it is again, said Tad, pointing at me with his ratchet. That sad face. If you change your mind about talking to someone, I'm here. And if necessary, I can kill someone and put the body where no one will find it.
Drama, drama, grumbled the old Fay under the bug. Always with you children there is drama.
Hey, I said, keep that up, and next time I have a horde of zombies to destroy, I won't pick you. He grunted, either at me or at the bug. It was hard to tell with C.
No one else could have done what I did, he said after a moment.
It sounded arrogant, but the Fay can't lie, so Z thought it was true. I did too.
It is good that you have me for a friend to call upon when your trauma overwhelms your life, Liebling. And if you have a body, I can dispose of it in such a way that there would be nothing left to find.
Z was my very good friend, and useful in all sorts of ways besides hiding dead bodies,
which he had done. Unlike Tad, Z wasn't an official employee of the garage he'd sold to me after teaching me how to work on cars and run the business. That didn't mean he was unpaid, just that he came and went on his own terms, or when I needed him. Z was dependable like that.
"Hey," said Tad, "quit chatting, Mercy, and start working. I'm two bolts up on you, and one of those kids just knocked over the garbage can in the office."
I'd heard it too, despite the closed door between the office and us. Additionally, just before the garbage can had fallen, I'd heard the tired and overworked mom try to keep her oldest from reorganizing all of the parts stored for sale on the shelving units that lined the walls. Tad might be half fey, but I was a coyote in my other form. My hearing was better than his. Despite the possible destruction going on in the office, it felt good to fix the old car. I didn't know how to fix my marriage. I didn't even know what had gone wrong.
"Ready?" asked Tad.
I caught the crossmember as he pulled the last bolt. A leaking radiator was something I knew how to make right.